What we want to do is dive right in to what we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks. And you may recall, 2 weeks ago, we looked at what Mannequin Sabbath is like, the great gift of God that Mannequin Sabbath is, which is a place of life-giving alliances. And people who live here are attracted to that. They love that. And that's part of the history of this area. Last week, we looked at what St. Francis is, the great gift that this congregation is, which is a congregation that gives a joyful welcome to people who come in, other kinds of groups that come in. And that's just one of the things that we do extremely well. And it's part of what God has desired for us, one of the reasons that we are here as ones who give that joyful welcome to all who come. And that's the gift of the community, the gift of the fellowship. And today what I'm going to look at is you, what your gift is, how you know this, what is the purpose, the core of your life that God has created with you. And there is something about that. In fact, what you have is a gift, a flow of life, if you will, that is yours, that God has given you. And that's what is shared with other people. When other people meet you or relate to you, that's one of the things that's going on. It is the great thing that God has given you, that flow of life that God has given you. And Paul actually referred to that. It's not the main point of the reading that Jack read just a few minutes ago, but he referred to it here in this section from 2 Timothy. And the next to last sentence of that reading goes this way: "Remember always, as the center of everything, Jesus Christ, a man of human ancestry, yet raised by God from the dead, according to my gospel." Now, doesn't this sound a little weird to your ears that somebody would say that something like "my gospel"? But here it is, right in the Bible. Paul is talking about my gospel. And I think that that extends to all of us. There is a degree, a manner in which each of us has our own gospel. And there's something that you can point to that you would say, this is my gospel. And what that is, it is the aspect of the whole gospel that first drew you to Jesus or to the church. And it is the thing that keeps drawing you to the church. It is what gives you life whenever you're thinking about the church or worship or the things of Jesus. There is a specific kind of thing that does that. And that is your gospel. You know, one of the ways of saying that, some of you have heard maybe for years, is that there's many ways to Jesus, but one way to God. And it's these many ways to Jesus. You have one, somebody else has another, another person has another one. That is your gospel. And that's what draws you to Him. And that is where you enter into the life of the kingdom. And it's that life that you share with other people. In fact, it is that quality of life, that way of living, that you invite other people into. And there might be something about the gospel for them that's a little different from you, but it's the same life of the kingdom. And you're sharing that. Now, I find that to be quite relieving, actually. Quite good news, you know, on more levels than one. Because normally when we think about sharing the things of our faith and what we believe or how we are with Jesus and that sort of thing, what goes on is we think, well, I've got to have some Bible verses and I've got to have some principles and I've got to be able, sooner or later, to actually debate this other person into seeing things my way. I mean, isn't that what you actually think sharing the gospel or evangelism is? Don't lie in church. I know that's what you think. Because whenever we talk about inviting someone, sharing what you have, that's the wall that comes up. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know of this or that. And you know, you never debate anybody into the kingdom. It's debate just does not connect with that. You just don't. What you do is you demonstrate the life of the kingdom in your life and invite people into that. And that invitation can take many, many forms. Many forms. And that's what we want to look at today. What is your gospel? And as I mentioned, there's many ways to Jesus, and each of us has taken one of those ways, and that's what your gospel is. It can, you know, just for the sake of being able to describe it, it can boil down to four, if you will, conversions. And I got this in a book back in 1979. I was reading this book in 79, and it really impressed me. I still remember it now. In fact, I was able to, I pulled that book off my shelf and find the very page where that struck me. George Hunter wrote a book called The Contagious Congregation. It's nothing to do with illness, of course, but it's The Contagious Congregation. And he makes the point there that there are four conversions, four turnings that a person will have. And when all those four have gone on in your life, there's a fullness that you have. And those four turnings can happen in any order at all. And they are this: to Christ, to His church, to His word, and to His service. To Christ, to His church, to His word, and to His service. And each of us, as we've gone along in the Christian faith, has had one of those happen. Or maybe all of them. But the first one that happened is probably the thing that makes it your gospel. Now, usually what we think of when we think of the gospel is someone has been converted to Christ. And someone's come along and they've convinced them that that's what they got to do. You know, they're sinners and they got to give that up and turn and repent and do all this. And then you're in. Well, you know, I don't refute that. It's just that's not the only thing that's going on. Because there are people who enter in to the kingdom, if you will, into the life of Jesus by coming first to the church. And a relationship with Christ, a love of His word, a service in the name of Christ are nowhere on their monitor. But the church is. And by the Spirit of God, they have been converted, if you will, to the church, to the bride of Christ. Now, I think one of the most outstanding examples of that in history, in Christian history, is John and Charles Wesley. And, you know, some of you raised in the Methodist Church, that's a very familiar name. Those two brothers are very familiar. And what went on with John and Charles Wesley is this. They were actually raised in the church. Their dad was the rector of the church that they were part of. And they were, you know, there were 19 brothers and sisters in that household. Just taking a look at Susanna Wesley, you'll get closer to Jesus. That's her mother, you know. You know. I mean, she learned how to pray with 19 kids in a little house. She takes the apron, puts it over her head, and prays for a while. But nonetheless, there they were, John and Charles. And they were raised in the church. They were every weekend. They're all 19 kids. They all go to the church, you know. And they're very bright guys. And they get into Oxford, and they form this club. It was kind of like a holy club. It was a prayer club, and they had a method of prayer. That's where they got the name Methodists, from that club in Oxford. And you know, John offers himself as a missionary, and off he comes to America, and totally fails. Goes to Georgia as a missionary, and everything he did failed. Got back on the boat, starts coming back, and sees there's these Moravians on the boat. And they start sharing with them, and he loves things that they see about them. He never experienced that at Oxford or in the church. There was something a little different about it. And he gets back to London and then goes to one of their prayer meetings. And at that prayer meeting, he says his heart was strangely warmed. He was converted to the church first and then to Christ. Now, it may have been he was converted to the scriptures also before being converted to Christ. He was well known for having the Greek New Testament open when he was preaching, and he'd preach from that. See, the guy was bright, really bright. But that's one absolutely wonderful example. Some of you, that may have been your path. You're converted to the church first, and then somewhere along the way, something happens. And something about Jesus opens up. There's also people who were converted to the Word first, to the Bible. And one of the great examples of that is a man named Frank Morrison. And Frank Morrison wrote a book back in the 60s called Who Moved the Stone? Did any of you ever come across that book? Yeah. Okay, a couple of really sharp guys right up front here came, saw that. Morrison was a journalist, and he set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus using journalistic methods that he would use in investigative journalism. So he goes to the source documents, the Gospels, and he was converted. The Bible, he was drawn into the Bible, and his heart was turned. And from there, he came to Christ, came to the Bible first. There are a number of people who you could point to about who were converted first to the service of the gospel and the service of Christ before coming to church or to the Bible or to Jesus himself. And a great many of those were also in the 60s. I mean, there's others since then, I know, but these are the ones that come to my mind, who went with Dr. King, traveled with Dr. King around this nation. And when you went with Dr. King on whatever marches or demonstrations or whatever it was, you came into a deeply Christian, gospel-oriented organization. And you were with one of the greatest preachers of the American church. Whether you agreed with the policies or the way that they went, whatever, however, that was where they were. And when you started walking with Dr. King, you were drawn into the service of Christ when that happened. And then from there, you would go into one of the others, into committing to Jesus himself, or getting more involved in the church, or whatever it may be. That's what he carried, bringing people into the service of Jesus. That's what made the gospel real for him. And just reading about how he came to that is an incredible story. Carol and I once lived in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. A little bit down the road from there was Crozier Seminary, and that's where Martin Luther King went to seminary. And he was a seminarian at the Drexel Hill Baptist Church, just down the road from where we were, where we lived. And I met the pastor of that church one day, and he said, there's still people in this church who remember him from when he was a seminarian at this church. They referred to him as Marty. They just got to know him so well. They go out to the diner, the Lanark Hills Diner, which I knew, and he wouldn't get out of the car because he was afraid to go in. And out of experiences like that, he came into a service of the world in the name of Jesus so that no one would have to be afraid to do anything like that again. And then those who came along with him were brought into the service of Christ. And went from there. Now, your gospel might be something like we've described, or it might be something even a little different. You know, for me, what really kind of got me was the promise of new things. You know, like the verse that really, really sticks with me, comes back to me, among others, is this: Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I say, yes, Lord, I do. I think it's right over there. It's new things, reaching new people, new neighborhoods, seeing the gospel expressed in new ways, seeing the infinite mercy and love of Jesus come to a new expression so that new people begin to see what's going on with him. That's my gospel. That brings me in. For you, it just might be the service of those who are out, you know, on the margins or who are repressed or whatever it is. Social justice might be yours. And some of us here, and over the years at St. Francis, that has been the key element of the gospel for them. For others, it may be the word. I mean, just all we have to do is say Bible study and you're there. Because that's where the gospel is for you. That's your gospel. And there may be all kinds of other things that for you individually might be it. And what that is, your gospel is a small window in the big picture of the whole gospel. And since it's a small window, what it is, you can see through that window into the whole gospel. People can see into your life as you give yourself over to what Jesus is calling you to do into the whole gospel. That is your gift. You have a gospel to share. And that's the way it works. It's one reason that here at St. Francis, one of the things that I've really hoped to encourage you in is this. It's not that I have a vision for St. Francis Episcopal Church, and I find ways to describe it clearly in a compelling way that you buy into it and sign up for whatever committee or thing that we have to take that vision further. If there's a list of things in the world that I could do, that is on the very bottom, and I'm hoping it's falling off. I just don't want to do anything like that. Because that keeps you and your gospel out of the picture. My true desire for St. Francis is that there is an umbrella and that every vision, every calling, every expression of the gospel that is in everyone's heart has a place under that umbrella in which you are equipped and built up and encouraged and released into what Jesus is asking you to do. And every time you do something at St. Francis, you have that encouragement and empowerment so that you can take the steps that Jesus wants you to take. Now, what is my vision for St. Francis, that's it. My vision is that every vision you have is fulfilled. Because you have a gospel to share. You are a great gift to those around you. And the things that bring life into your heart, that light up your life, that draw you back to worship all the time. The very thing that does that is the very thing that breathes life into other people and invites them to find their own gospel in Jesus. And then when those gospels start weaving together, there is a powerful, merciful, open home of the Father that everyone is invited into. Now what I'm hoping that you would be able to do, even this week, is that you would get some clarity about that with the Spirit of God. If you've never thought about, well, what is it that I actually like about this Christian faith thing? What really encourages me when I think about church or prayer or serving others or whatever it is? That you might take some time and do that. And get clear about that, and you would know, this is my gospel. And you keep growing in that. And then when there's times that you feel the Spirit of God is prompting you to take other steps outside of that, just take that as your periods of deep growth. Because that is how you would grow. That you would do that, you would find a way to share that. And in fact, I think this is so... foundational and important that I have actually drawn up an assignment for you this week, and I'm going to pass this around. If you would take that, Richard, would you help pass it around? Maybe Jack could help with one side and you with the other. That's great. Thank you. Yeah, if you would take this home. You know, I need one so I know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Okay, right. If you take this along with you and try these things, ask God to show you, bring to your mind, make clear what makes the gospel real for you, what's your gospel. If you would do that in some way, that would be just wonderful. Just take a few. You might be even getting it right now. What it is for you might be coming to you right now. And as you get that clear, you might then, if you would ask God for an opportunity to share that with someone. You know, there you are. You think, oh, that's the thing. That's what really gives me life. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Who can I share that with? You know, ask for the opportunity. And sharing it with somebody means step three. Ask God for the ability to see the opportunity and know how to share it. Remember, you don't have to debate with somebody else to get them into the kingdom. Maybe you just do something. Maybe there's something you do and the other person sees it and it catches their attention. Maybe there's something that's happened in your life and you share that story with that person. And you never say the word Bible, prayer, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, or repentance. But the Spirit of God still has arrested them through that story. Or maybe it's you're praying for them. And you don't get to see them or talk to them, but they're in your mind. And you pray for them. And if you don't know what to pray for them, you say, Lord, this one's in my mind. Whatever you want, that's what I want. And you go with that. And then step four, take the plunge. If you can, dive in head first and see how it goes. And I think you'll see Jesus do things that maybe you've never imagined of before. You might see that you have something that when you share it, it is very meaningful to other people, especially if you're sharing it in the manner that the Lord is opening up for you to share it. You know, praying for them, some action instead of words, some story, or whatever it may be. If you just take that and you will see where you are in the kingdom of God and how precious you are in His sight. Now, just one more encouragement. When you get that clarity, this is my gospel, and you share it, don't stop yourself because you think, well, that's selfish. It's just about me. Of course it's about you. You are a child of God, bearing the family resemblance, and that's how other people catch on. That's how other people are invited into the family of God by other family members. Okay. Now, I really hope you'll do that. If you don't, that's okay. You know, we don't take you off the rolls. But it would be a great encouragement to me if you just didn't leave that on your seat. You took it home and got rid of it elsewhere if you're not going to do it. That'd be great. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us and given us a gospel that is the way that our life is and the way we respond to you. We thank you that our hearts can respond to you. And we ask you now, for the glory of your name, that you would use us in the way that you are forming us for the enrichment and encouragement of other people to enter into your family. That your name would be glorified by all people. Amen.